Hello and welcome to Every Woman. I'm Fiona, and with me at the soundboard today is my wife, Una.
Hello. It's very nice to be here again. We're the only two people in the station right now, I think. It's kind of spooky.
Snowpocalypse?
What?
The snowpocalypse?
I don't know. The streets seem fine to me, but we have two wonderful guests on hold on our phone lines here that we're going to introduce in just a second. So, did you have a good week, Fiona?
Oh, I had a great week. I got to stay and work from home on Friday with the snowpocalypse.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad here. And my latest piercing is healing very well for all of our listeners out there that urgently follow me on Facebook.
Yes, I know they're all very concerned about the state of your piercings.
I was kind of thrown, though, when I was going to work, and I noticed on my usual commute there was this light that was reflecting all over my dash, moving around. I couldn't tell what it was, and then finally I figured out at a stoplight, it was a reflection off the diamond in my nose. And I'm like, well, it's another thing to get used to. I was shocked that only two people at work noticed all week, or at least that's all they said. I think everyone's kind of given up on me as being weird enough that nothing really surprises them.
Perhaps people at work don't spend that long staring at your nose every day.
Well, they ought to. It's kind of cute. So, who do we have with us today?
We have on the phone, we have Amina Johnson and Adrian Downton, and they are both doulas, and they trained with Uzazi Village. And Uzazi Village I became aware of because I saw some of the events that they've posted on Facebook, and they have a really interesting event coming up shortly, which is Trauma and the Black Woman's Experience of Healthcare. And the CDC says that the complication rates and death rates in the U.S., black women are over three times more likely to die from pregnancy or childbirth-related causes, which is absolutely appalling, especially when you consider the take into extra account the fact that the U.S. has the highest death rate for women in childbirth and pregnancy in the developed world. So we're already talking a higher than what you would expect for our technology and healthcare level rate of death, and then you more than triple that for black women. So with that as an introduction, I would love to welcome Amina and Adrian. Thank you for being with us on the show today.
Thank you. Hello. Hi.
I'm so sorry about the weather, so that you couldn't both be in and get to sit in the studio and see the microphones, and it's a lot easier to sit back and feel like you're chatting properly.
And we have coffee here. I made fresh coffee because the old coffee in there had started to gain sentience and ask difficult theological questions. You know, when food gets that old, it often does.
Oh, no.
I think the caffeine may have accelerated that. So I know you're both trained as doulas, and at least one of you trained with Uzazi Village. Could you tell me about that process and how you came to that point in your life and how Uzazi helped you? And Adrian, would you like to go first, purely at random?
Sure. So with my experience, how I was even introduced to Uzazi Village was I happened to be pregnant myself, and I was going to a midwife, and the midwife was saying, hey, go take some classes on childbirth and breastfeeding, and she told me about Uzazi Village. So pretty much ever since I had took that first class at Uzazi Village, I fell in love, and I was like, I want to do this for people, and I've just been attached ever since day one.
That's awesome. So that's one thing that becomes very obvious. They don't just do training for doulas. They also provide training generally for women who want help with childbirth and information.
Correct.
So, Amina, how did you become involved with Uzazi Village and come to be a doula?
My story is different. I don't have children. But I was in college and going through a horrible breakup, and a part of my healing process was connecting with women and hearing their stories, and I just was kind of just talking to different women that I knew, women that I didn't know, just like, you know, how did you heal, or when was the first time you realized you were beautiful? And as I was going through just talking to different women and connecting with different women, I was like, wow, I really love this. I really think there's something powerful about surrounding yourself with women, and, you know, that I just felt really supported and really uplifted. And so after that, I was like, well, I can't just keep on walking up to random strangers, nor can I keep on asking women in a circle these questions. I mean, I could, but it wasn't feeding me. So I was trying to find a way for me to always connect with women. Also, while in college, I took a women's studies class, and we had watched a documentary about midwives. And I was like, that's what I want to do. The thought left me. And then it came back after I was trying to navigate through my healing journey. And I found out about doulas. And so then I was looking up in my local area how to become a doula. And I saw some certification processes. And I saw Uzazi. And from there on, I've never left.
So perhaps maybe we should begin a bit, take a step backwards and go back to the beginning, because there may be some of our listeners who don't know what the role of a doula is. So could you explain that for us, please?
Sure. So doula is a Greek term. It's a pretty new term. I don't want to lie, but and give you a false time frame and when it was created. But a doula is basically a labor companion. A doula supports women emotionally and physically during labor to help alleviate labor pains and to help her have whatever type of birth that she wants. There's all types of doulas. There's abortion doulas. There's postpartum doulas. There are stillbirth doulas. Like, doulas are just there to support. The difference is, I think, with just being a birth doula and a postpartum doula and a loss doula is that through Uzazi training is that we're also community health workers. So we are also trained to know about different resources within our own communities to be able to help women navigate through whatever situation that may occur during pregnancy.
Thank you for that explanation. And that's a wider role than I knew it was. I didn't know about the lost doulas. I was reading a story today from someone critiquing the New York State laws on abortion about how she had to, because she waited for her test results, she had to carry a child to term that was going to die as soon as it was born, and the stress and the loss that she went through for that, and having someone to be there for the mother and support them through that would surely help.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So I mentioned briefly that the bad outcomes are three times or more than three times higher for black women than for white women. How is Uzazi Village tackling that issue, and how are they helping people?
Well, right now, Uzazi, our goal at Uzazi is to decrease black infant mortality and also just the health inequities. And we do that through, you know, our classes that we teach. We teach childbirth education. We teach breastfeeding. We have a staff of perinatal doulas that specialize to work with, you know, mothers and be there to help them advocate for themselves and just educate them on how the hospital, how there's a difference between hospital births, birth centers, and home births. Just letting them know that they have, let that mother know that they have options. They don't just have to stick to what the hospital says, what your doctor says, but also do your own research before you just decide to just go with whatever the doctor says. So we kind of educate our mothers on all those different things, looking at things as a whole.
Are the statistics on whether home birth is safer versus birth centers versus hospitals that you can share with people? And are those statistics different for persons of color than they are for the white population?
I'm not sure about the statistics, but I'm not sure with the numbers, but there is a difference as far as being at home and being in a hospital. With the hospital, you have nurses coming in and out. You have bright lights. It's the hospital. So,
yeah, it's very stressful. Yes. Nobody likes being in the hospital.
Yeah, and so versus being at home, you're comfortable. You know this space. You have pictures of that make you feel comfortable. It just does something different for the birthing mother because she's not feeling like a patient. She's at home. She's in her sacred space. So, yes, that's being at home, being safe, feeling that security, you usually get a lot of that at home. Not saying you can't get that at the hospital, but that's just my difference on it. I don't know if Amina wants to share the difference or not, but
yeah, I'll build on that. I also don't want to give any statistics because I don't have any. But I definitely agree with everything that Adrian said. Birth center births have been pretty wonderful here in the city, but I would have to agree in saying that home births are something that I think are way more beneficial than being in the hospital for Black women, simply because a lot of the points that Adrian listed as far as it being a safer environment. And a lot of women in our community, or, you know, just people in the Black community, there's been a long history of the medical system in Black people. And so just that off top can be stressful. And when you're in your own environment, you know, you can get that oxytocin going, which is what drives labor, and create a better opportunity for you and your baby. You're listened to a lot more at home. So, yeah, and that's a part of Uzazi's mission as well, is having community midwives. So there are a few women in the city within the Black community between Kansas and Missouri that are training to become midwives.
And that would be really important to enable those home births to happen safely, and particularly to support anyone who has any at-risk issues during pregnancy, like a friend had preeclampsia or anything like that. You definitely want them monitored.
Right. Yes, most definitely.
So how do you help someone make that decision whether to be at home or whether to choose a birthing center or a hospital? What sort of issues do you raise and help them consider?
I guess I'll go first. For me, I mainly listen, and then they tell me what they want to do. When I initially meet with a client, I like to call the first visit a vibe session, so we can get a feel of each other's energies, just because the work is very intimate. So in that first visit, I tell them a little bit about myself. I mainly listen and ask questions about themselves and their past experiences, if they've had previous births, and where they gave birth is a really good question, and just kind of allow them to share their story. And then based on that, a lot of women have a clear idea of where they want to give birth or the type of birth that they want. In some cases, some women feel like the hospital is the only option that they have. So in those cases, you know, we're still getting to know each other, and they're telling me, you know, a lot of times what they don't like about the hospital, what they don't like about their health care provider. And then in those instances, I'm able to, depending on what stage they are in their pregnancy, be able to introduce them to the other options that they have. And from there, it's not an instant process. So if there's a mother, let's say she's 28 weeks, and we're just now meeting for the first time, and she is dissatisfied with her healthcare provider or the hospital, and she wants to have an all-natural birth, low intervention, she may not feel comfortable being at home. So then I would suggest the birth center. But even through that suggestion, I would give her the resources that I had available, the phone numbers or the people to call. She would take a tour, and from there, you know, it's like a long process. The same thing with midwives. If she was interested in having a home birth, I would connect her with different midwives within the city, and she would go through an interviewing process with midwives. So it's a little bit of a lengthy process, but that's generally my approach to it. And I'm not sure if Adrian has a different approach or a similar approach.
No, my approach is very similar. What I do want to add is that with my clients, I tell them to draw a picture. Draw a picture of what you want your birth to feel like, what you want it to look like. Put all your energy into this picture and take at least 30 minutes. And then I have them look at this picture, look at their picture and tell me about it. And depending on what I see in the picture, and they tell me, okay, well, I'm looking at the picture and I'm seeing it's just her and her birth team, no nurses, no lights, bright lights. And then I say, okay, well, now if you want to have these bright lights, you got the hospital bright lights, you got the nurses walking in and out the hospital. So which one do you want? It looks like the picture, you want to be at home or you want to be, you know, in a birth center. So I kind of have them answer that question themselves and see the difference for themselves. And then they're like, okay, I think I want to do a home birth. I don't want to do the hospital birth, or I want to do a birth center. So that's how I kind of do it as well.
Thank you. And we're going to come right back to that thought. But unfortunately, we have to take a short station break now, so we'll be right back. And we're back after our brief station break there with Adrian Downton and Amina Johnson. And we were just talking about how people envisage their births and the choices between home and birth center and hospital.
I really like that concept of draw the space that you see yourself giving birth in. I've never heard that before, and I think that really would help women to, I guess, put into words, so to speak, where they feel safest, because it must be a very scary event.
Yeah, and I actually feel that women shouldn't go into pregnancy with fear. Like, you shouldn't be fearful of what's really natural. And that's what I hear a lot, women being scared.
And I can't help suspecting one of the fears that they may have might be being made to have a cesarean, whether they feel they need it or not, perhaps just because their doctor has a golf tee time, which is one of the frequently memed reasons for why someone might be having to have a cesarean, just because it's inconvenient for the birth to go a little bit longer. Is that a genuine fear that you see out there?
That is possible. I kind of agree with that being a fear, along with fear of the pain and fear of even becoming a mother. There's all that combined, or fear of I don't know what to do. So there's so many different things. But, yeah, that also can play a role as far as surgery. Mm-hmm.
And hospitals, for all the good that they do, they are generally not good at reducing your fear when you are in there. You feel somewhat trapped when you're in a hospital. You feel like you're not entirely there under your own care or under your own will, that you can't just get up and leave when you want to. I mean, even when they release you, there's the, oh, well, the doctor has to sign some paperwork, and that can be 8 hours while you just sit there and wait with no news. Every time I go to a hospital, it just triggers a panic attack in me. I genuinely do not want to be there, no matter what.
Yes, hospitals are very uncomfortable, and I think you're touching on a very important thing, not just about anxiety, but people understanding their rights. when they're in a hospital and what those what that may look like, you know, in birth and death, in many different situations. A lot of people go into hospitals and feel like everybody there is the superior, and whatever they say, I have to do. And they don't, and a lot of people don't understand that they actually have rights during a birth, and that anytime you want to leave, you can leave. Anytime you want to fire somebody, you can fire somebody in the room, especially if you feel like you're being mistreated, disrespected, or anything like that.
Yeah, once you are hooked up to machines that are beeping at you and with IVs and things in, even if you wanted to and were physically able to get up and walk away at that point, you feel trapped. And they're all about, oh, well, you can't go anywhere. We have to find someone to release you. It's almost like mm-hmm. you're a prisoner.
Absolutely.
Yeah, last time I was in, I asked if I needed to get a note from the warden before I was released. And well, the nurses, they have no sense of humor in that situation.
No, they do not. They are so serious. Like why so serious? Pregnancy is serious, but it's not that serious. And shouldn't be considered a patient because pregnancy is a natural thing anyway. Like, it's not that serious.
That's a fantastic point right there. You shouldn't be considered a patient. You're just, yes. you're there for, to give birth, a perfectly natural and wonderful thing that women have been doing for millennia successfully. Most of them, sometimes people do have legitimate problems or health concerns that the hospital is absolutely the best place. But, you know, I also get very concerned when I think about the cost of giving birth in a hospital setting. I looked up some statistics prior to this and found out that depending upon what part of the country you're in, depending upon, you know, what level of, or tier of hospital, a simple, uncomplicated delivery can range from $3,500 to $5,000. And if there is any kind of extra attention need, any extra postnatal care and so forth, that number can easily exceed $10,000. And if you are in a community where health insurance is a rarity or something that not many folks have, giving birth can it could destroy your entire financial structure of your family. And I think that's another advantage of what you do and the doula system.
Right. Yeah, it is costly to give a birth at a hospital, and then add a cesarean to that. That its average cost is that is $30,000 to $50,000 for a C-section. So, yeah, it can get costly.
Wow, I had no idea it was that much for a C-section. I hadn't looked that up, but I have no trouble believing it.
Yes, yes, they charge you every time they touch you or load some medication. That's why they keep letting that medication go and you get charged about the second.
And if you're in a semi-private room, like most of the time you'll get, even if you have insurance, you're at the mercy of whoever you're sharing the room with, who has their own machines beeping and going off during the night, or, you know, they've got the TV on tuned to, you know, Trump speeches or something. Whereas if you're at home, you can just tell someone, turn that doggone thing off or be quiet.
Right. Respect and privacy.
Absolutely.
And I did see on your website as well that you are very keen to share information with people so that they know their rights before they go into a hospital. Like, they do have the right to refuse a cesarean or to refuse certain types of treatment, and how to do that in such a way that they are treated with respect and their opinion is actually taken as a valid one, rather than, oh, you're just in a state of pain or it's the drugs and we'll just roll right over you.
Yes, I am very passionate about people knowing their rights within a hospital setting and everybody feeling respected. You know, the client, of course, or the birthing mother or partner or whoever is the most important person. However, I don't want the nurses to feel disrespected. I don't want anybody to feel disrespected you know, but definitely, you know, educating the clients on their rights and the best ways to communicate their rights depending on the situation.
I know one of my friends actually has PTSD from her birth experience because she was given a cesarean and had no control over it or when it happened or any of the circumstances, and there are other details that she shared that are private. But how do you help someone that has already gone through an event like that?
Well, just hearing that, hearing you say that, it makes me feel a certain way, because you're saying that she had to have a cesarean, but she had no control, she had no say with saying yes or no, or why she wasn't thinking about asking why.
I get the impression that they rolled straight over her and just said, you have to do this, and there was no discussion.
And so, yeah, that's a part of the hospital being bullies. But how can I help her now? Whew, on different levels, really. It's really up to what the mother wants. Part of that is you do have to recover from that and kind of like not let go, but... it's so much. You really have to go within, and it will take some meditation, it will take some crying, it will take some writing down your feelings. There's different exercises that you can do to kind of get through it, never forget, but heal from it.
Thank you.
And I will add to what Adrienne is saying, and I think one of the first steps in that is creating space, holding sacred space, you know, for your friend and just women, to allow them to share their birth stories. I think that sharing your stories, you know, Mama Hakima, she's the creative director of Uzazi, shameless plug, but she is a big advocate for women sharing their stories and that kind of being the vehicle to healing that trauma that has been experienced during birth. And so, yes, like Adrienne was saying, meditation, going within, and just having healing circles. It's very important to have healing circles for men and women so that they can share their stories and release anything that is... anything that's associated with negativity, they can release it.
Thank you for that. And I, being white and not having any children myself, I don't have an experience of being in the hospital for childbirth or being there whilst black. Do you...
You have a spouse who acts like a child sometimes.
Yes, but luckily I didn't have to give birth to you. That would be a very weird relationship. But do you have experiences of women who are treated much worse in the hospital because they are persons of color?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. But I'm only laughing because that is the primary experience. And a lot of women, the sad part I feel for me as a doula, is a lot of women may not know that they're being mistreated or they've been abused during that process. And black women just don't get treated well in hospitals at all.
I think you could actually edit that to say black women just don't get treated well at all, period.
Mm. Period.
Yes, thank you.
Period.
I guess when I was asking the question, I was trying to see if there were any stories that you felt safe to share without compromising anyone's privacy.
Sounds like you're asking for horror stories.
I just want our listeners who may think things are exaggerated or I've never seen it happen, so therefore it doesn't happen, to have a chance to hear some of the information about the differences.
Well, I have a story. I actually did have a patient that had a hospital birth, and OB was very supportive in the birth plan, very supportive that she had a doula. Now, the laboring was fine. Delivery went fine. But the part that was more so traumatizing on the outside looking in, because a mother just had the baby, was the OB reaching in the mother's vagina and manually removing the placenta. That is traumatizing. The placenta is supposed to deliver naturally on its own, but mother thinks everything is fine, I have my baby, I didn't have a C-section. But that is one example of what women don't know, that is actually a bad experience.
Why on earth would someone do that? I mean, I know people are neat freaks, but that's taking that to an extreme.
Yeah, because that's going to pass on its own unless there's something seriously gone wrong with your hormone levels.
Right. No, there was nothing wrong. Mom had a perfectly good, healthy birth and laboring process, but at the hospital, their delayed cord clamping is considered 2 minutes, and if it doesn't come out in 2 minutes, we're just going to go ahead and remove it. There's nothing to it.
That's ridiculous.
Just hold the baby while I reach in there. That's, they don't even say that, but...
Yeah, they pass on the baby to distract them, I'm guessing.
That's like an alternate version of hold my beer and watch this.
Anytime I ever see a hospital drama from now on, that's what I'm going to be thinking in any birth scenes.
For me, I've seen a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, but I've seen, a lot of women being mistreated, from prenatal appointments to labor. So a lot of times what I often see or hear from clients during their prenatal visits are when they start to get more information about different things that they may want to do, and whether that's exclusively breastfeed, whether that's lotus birth, whether that's just understanding certain testing during pregnancy and what they may or may not want to do, whether that's right after the baby's born, administering the vitamin K, they may want to deny that. They may want to deny the hepatitis B shot. They may want to deny the erythromycin. And I've seen a lot of healthcare providers, you know, when a family is, you know, stating their concerns or asking questions, blatantly just tell women, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. This is dangerous. You're a bad, you know, you need to think about your other children. What about your other children? I had a situation where a doctor was trying to induce a client, and she felt in her spirit that she wasn't ready to have her baby through induction. She wanted to do the natural process, so she asked the doctor about natural forms of inductions, and the doctor was just basically telling her, you know, you need to think about your other children, because what if you die? What if you die? Then you're not going to be here for your children. I mean, you're really not thinking about that. And so, you know, Black women are getting all those conversations. If we talk about Black men and Black fathers, they're just being ignored. They're getting kicked out rooms, being ignored, all types of things. So these are the types of situations that we're dealing with. Like Adrian said, manual removal of placentas, cord tractions, a big fights about families keeping their placentas, even though they talk to their healthcare team ahead of time, like the hospital slyly trying to withhold the family's placenta, even though they've communicated that they want to keep the placenta, or hospitals trying to convince them otherwise.
And I guess...
And I think...
With your comment about black fathers being ignored, there's the added risk that if they try and speak up and defend their partner, that the hospital will just call security on them and say they were being scary.
Oh, most definitely. Black men always get the rap of being intimidating, of being scary, just as well as black women. So I feel like a lot of times, and not only do I feel, this is actually a fact that I've seen with my own eyes and experienced myself, that when I assert myself or when I ask a question, it's taken as aggression. And so based on how that's taken, I'm treated a different way. And I think that's one of the differences with black women and white women and just the families in general. It's like if a black woman states that she doesn't want to do something or she's uncomfortable with something or is inquiring about something, then she's being aggressive. So I have to meet brute force with brute force is how she's treated. Versus if a white woman says that she doesn't want to do something or she's uncomfortable with something, it's not as hard of a pushback if there's any pushback at all. And if a white male says, oh, you know, my wife isn't doing that, that's the end of it. Whereas if a black male stands up for his partner, then it's he has to go. And so that leaves the birthing mother by herself without a partner and all.
It's terrible that they only take the opinion of a male about something, but even worse in a society when if you're a black male, they'll then throw you out for trying to speak up.
I guess we should feel thankful that hospital staff don't normally carry tasers, because you know what would happen then.
You have a point there.
Yeah, he was aggressive. He was demanding placentas and all sorts of other stuff. We had to tase him 17 times.
Yes, if he's not getting shot, then he most definitely will be tased or taken to the ground or taken out.
And the woman gets treated as if she's the trope of the angry black woman. And they practically just pat her on the head and say, you really don't know what you're doing. Just calm down.
Yeah, if you actually want anyone to calm down, never, ever say calm down to someone.
Right. Never. Why would you ever say calm down to anybody?
It's gasoline
when they're,
on the fire.
You know, in pain, especially. You're in pain, and you're telling me to calm down.
I saw that in researching this, that the number of doulas has increased in the last few years in the United States. I saw statistics that said in 2006-2007, about 3% of births involved a doula, and that number has doubled to be about 6-7% right now. But another statistic I saw that was very interesting was it said more than a quarter of women who gave birth without a doula said later on they wished they'd had one by their side. Are you still seeing growth in the desire for women to have a doula to help them through this journey?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I get messages all the time on, hey, I see you're a doula. Where can I start my training? I get it all the time. And it's not just here in Kansas City. Like, I get people from New York, from Florida, and in California. It's crazy. How do you find me? But yes.
I saw in one site they were calling doulas by the name of birth ambassadors. I thought that was kind of nice, like we're the ambassador to help you come into this strange and scary land where you'll be thrown out in the cold and have to go to school for 20 years to work at Quick Trip or something. But
I'm just now wondering, if you have birth ambassadors, do the big hospitals count as the full embassy, and then the little ones are just the birth centers are just like the diplomatic missions or something?
I saw a site that had the equivalent of male doulas for to help the father of the baby that's expected. They were calling them birth bros because you got to make it macho.
So, going back away from the birth bros and to the women's experience.
Hey, don't be hating on the birth bros.
I hereby swear not to be hating on the birth bros. How about support after the birth? Because so many people have classes before pregnancy, during the pregnancy and before the birth, and everyone's all gushing around the expectant mother, but then a lot of the time, a lot of that support drops away very quickly after the birth. So do you also provide support and information and help postpartum?
Definitely. That is actually my specialty, is postpartum. We teach classes on, again, breastfeeding, also the lotus birth, that is part of postpartum. If you want to leave your umbilical cord attached to baby, we offer that lotus birth support as well. And also about self-care, how to recover, the best ways to recover faster, is all wrapped around postpartum. We even talk about vaginal health, how you can protect your womb after having a baby, and how to just really take care of yourself, your body, your mind, your soul as a whole.
That's really important, because I know from having taught high school science for 2 years, none of those videos on the reproduction and life cycle ever talk about any damage during birth. They make it sound like the baby just pops out magically by itself and everything just goes nicely on its way.
And they never talk about the word episiotomy.
No.
Which has just made me cringe even saying it.
Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, I'm afraid she just froze my brain with the word episiotomy.
I know. I just saw this look of terror come across her face, and she had that thousand-yard stare. It was amazing.
Well, I'm also thinking of some articles I read from Ireland where women in healthcare there had were surgically altered to make the birth easy, and then it did permanent damage to them. Or they were sewn back up afterwards to make them tight so it would be nice for their husband again after the birth and he wouldn't be put off.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, wow. That's... Well, on that note, we're going to have to take another short station break, Adrienne and Amina. So if you bear with us here, we'll be back in about 1 minute and we'll talk a little bit about your event that's upcoming.
Nearly all American presidents have been white Protestants, which has informed a specific idea about our national character.
Many Protestants within the United States actively constructed the idea that the United States was a Christian nation, and by that they meant explicitly an Anglo-Protestant nation as well.
That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon, right after Link's Mix.
PeaceWorks KC presents author Pat Elder, Countering Military Recruitment in Public Schools and Confronting Contamination Near Military Bases, on Thursday, February 21st at 7 p.m. at All Souls UU Church, 4501 Walnut. Henry Stover can answer questions at 913-375-0045. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio.
Thank you for that, Unipai. And we are back with Adrienne and Amina, two doulas from Uzazi Village. And I'd very quickly like to talk to you and ask you to give details about your event. I've heard it's already sold out, but hopefully there'll be some more events coming up. Adrienne, Amina, are you there?
Yes, hello,
okay.
I'm here. Yes.
Great. I thought we might have dropped you with the phones.
No, I was going to say, I didn't do anything. There's all these buttons and dials and things, and I must have done something wrong.
So I know there's an upcoming event about trauma and the black woman's experience of healthcare. Could you tell people a little bit about that and about how to find out about events from Uzazi Village?
Yes,
yeah,
so...
Oh, sure.
Event Trauma and the Black Woman's Experience of Healthcare is pretty much it's going to be about... pretty much what we've been talking about, how black women
are actually four times likely to experience death during the childbearing year, and how to, and also how it can be life-threatening. But we're going to talk about the history of the Black woman's experience and how Black women fall victim to medical experimentation. Pretty much what we've already been talking about today is going to go into more depth with more history and statistics and just the experience, just not here in Kansas City, but all around the world.
And if anyone's interested, that one's obviously sold out, but how would people find information about other events from Uzazi Village, or how to donate to Uzazi Village, or any information regarding supporting the mission or getting help from them?
So Uzazi Village has a website. It's www.uzazi, U-Z-A-Z-I, Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E.org. And we also have a Facebook page and an Instagram, but we're most active on our website and our Facebook. And there we post different events that we have going on, anything associated to Uzazi. It may be birth-related. It may not be. So if you want to find out more information, you should check those out.
Thank you for that. And I'd like to go back to what we were saying about postpartum, because you said you provide support postpartum, and I know a common problem is postpartum depression. And do you have any information for people out there that might be wondering that's what they're experiencing, if there's any signs, and how they can get support and help for that?
For postpartum depression, a lot of the symptoms are pretty much loneliness, don't want to have anything to do with the baby, just want to lay in the bed, just always down. If you're having some of those symptoms where you just feel like you don't want to do anything, and you're crying, you're just drowning in sadness, then the best thing that that I would say to do is to reach out for support. Don't feel scared or feel like you're less than or not strong because you just feel like you are not supported enough. So reach out for support. Say something to somebody that you trust, somebody that is positive. And you feel free to reach out to Uzazi Village, because Uzazi Village is a sacred place. That is actually my second home. I go there when I'm feeling down sometimes. So, yeah, it's a sacred place. You just got to find your sacred place and speak up for yourself. No one's going to know if you are feeling down unless you say something about it.
Thank you for that information.
We all need to find our sacred place. Sometimes I think it's here at the station, because it's warm and quiet, and we get to have such a learning experience, learning about all the issues that impact women here on Every Woman, such as learning about Uzazi Village and learning about what it means to involve a doula in such a meaningful life experience. I've learned a lot during this hour that we've spent here.
And I know also you help with instructions on breastfeeding and lactation consultancy, but in a culturally appropriate and sensitive way.
Yes. Breastfeeding is my thing, and we think it's a very natural process for mother and baby, not just for health, but for also for bonding. So it's very important.
And breastfeeding is one of those things that is incredibly natural and beneficial to humanity in general, that we have large groups of people trying to restrict and shame women into not breastfeeding and not having that natural care for their child.
Right. That's a whole nother show.
Yeah, we could probably do another hour.
That's
So if someone were having issues with breastfeeding, issues getting the baby to latch on, or worried that the baby wasn't getting enough nutrition, you could provide support that way?
Absolutely.
Or even advice about co-breastfeeding and also giving formula so you could get enough nutrition but still provide the any hormones and any antibodies that the baby needed?
Yes, most definitely. Uzazi has lactation consultants. So even if a woman, and like Adrian said, we get these messages all the time where women are struggling with breastfeeding, I'm not making enough milk, you know, my baby, I'm scared. Just get in contact with Adrian or I or any of the doulas on Uzazi's website or even Uzazi, and we can try to connect you with a lactation consultant that may be able to come visit you at your home if there's a transportation issue, or also if you can make it to Uzazi to get extra support. Anybody there can help.
Yeah, that's really good that the transportation issue is addressed, because that, again, it's there's so many levels of intersectionality of barriers that society puts up towards women that are giving birth, especially women of color.
And you say if anyone can make it to Uzazi, so what is the actual physical location of Uzazi if anyone were wanting to find you and come visit?
Yeah, so Uzazi is located, let me pull up, it's off of 4232 Truth, Kansas City, Missouri, 64110, and the phone number is 816-541-3718. Yes, you can also visit UzaziVillage.org and check out the doulas, and we all have our emails listed there, so you'll be able to contact us through there. You can follow Uzazi via Facebook and send a message through there, or you can find any of the doulas via Facebook and send a message
through there,
or you can message me and Adrian at mothermebaby.com.
Thank you so much for that information, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
That's going to be all we have time for today, but that was really important information, and I'm just so glad you were able to share with us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you.
And that was Amina Johnson and Adrian Downton, two doulas from Uzazi Village. And do stay tuned. Coming up, we have Urban Connections with Donna Wolf, and then guess who's coming to Kansas City? With MC Richardson, who's safely back and at the helm again. And do tune in next week for more interesting guests from Every Woman. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.